Chapter 25, Symbolic Sermons and Arrest. Questions of the method of obtaining the attention of the people must often have occupied the thoughts of the prophets. After all, they were the preachers of their day, and they had the same problem which confronts every preacher, how he may so speak as to compel people to hear him. After a time, the ordinary methods of appeal would lose their effect, and something new and striking would need to be employed. The prophets often use such extraordinary methods that it is likely that we should call them in this day sensational preachers. We have noted the methods which Isaiah used to gain attention in Jerusalem. Those of Jeremiah were not less marked. Symbolism, that is, the act of an idea in picturesque form, was a very common method of the prophets. They knew that people are impressed more by what they see than by what they hear. So often the sermon of the prophet was really acted before it was preached. Jeremiah had a very particular reason for gaining the attention of the people in connection with the political situation. It was, in truth, very similar to the situation in Isaiah's time. Judah had necessarily become subject to Babylonia after Nebuchadnezzar's great victory, but of course it was exceedingly irksome to pay the large tribute every year to the sovereign power. Egypt was at work upon her old policy. She was always trying to stir up the states of Palestine against the great powers of the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. And Egypt was always promising great assistance. Jehoiakim, the weak king of Judah, was strongly inclined to revolt against Nebuchadnezzar and make alliance with Egypt. And finally, in spite of all Jeremiah's efforts, he did so. Then the prophet preached a series of most impressive symbolic sermons. There were in Jerusalem at the time a company of men somewhat like our modern gypsies. They were descendants of the old desert nomads. Those Rechabites, as they were called, had settled in Palestine. They had never become dwellers in cities or agriculturalists. On account of the Chaldean army, they had, however, temporarily taken refuge in Jerusalem. Jeremiah tells us how he used them as an illustration for his sermon. I took the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of Jehovah, and I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land wherein ye sojourn. And we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, Come, and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. Having thus attracted the people by this public temptation of the abstemious Rechabites, he turned toward the crowd that had collected in the temple courts to see his action and interpreted the picture in a striking sermon. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, and unto this day they drink none, for they obey their father's commandment. But I have spoken unto you, rising up early and speaking, and ye have not hearkened unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith Jehovah, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered." A little later, another means of illustrating the great thoughts that were in his mind occurred to Jeremiah. He invited a number of the elders to go with him. There was always great interest to know what Jeremiah would do, so they accompanied him. He led them to the shop of a potter. The business of the potter, one of the oldest of human arts, was performed then in almost exactly the same way as it is today. The potter sat at his wheel and fashioned the clay into the shapes desired. Without a word, Jeremiah watched him. Presently, through some fault in the clay, the vessel which the potter was making was spoiled. Without a moment's hesitation, the potter changed his plan and made it into another vessel for which the clay was better adapted. Then Jeremiah, suddenly turning around and pointing to the clay thrown upon the floor and to the other clay being worked by the hands of the potter, said, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith Jehovah? Behold, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and break down and to destroy it? If that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if they do that which is evil in my sight, that they obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." The people naturally were not pleased with these severe words. There were constantly those in the city who advised them that no such calamity should really come. Then said they, "Come, and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words." Jeremiah knew the impression that was being made by his severe words, and it bitterly disturbed his soul. He went to make sad complaint to God. "Give heed to me, O Jehovah, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember how I stood before thee to speak good for them, to turn away thy wrath from them." But he still felt that he must preach. Again, a symbolic sermon occurred to him. He summoned a company of the elders to follow him. As usual, they followed him submissively. He led them to the valley of Topheth, that shameful place where the human sacrifices had been burnt. The place, therefore, had stood for the worst iniquities of which Judah had ever been guilty. He was carrying in his hand a bottle or jar, such as the potter made. Suddenly, lifting it above his head, he hurled it into the valley where it smashed to pieces, and turning to his audience, said, "Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury in Topheth, till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith Jehovah, and to the inhabitants thereof, even making this city as Topheth, and the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses of the kings of Judah, which are defiled, shall be as the place of Topheth, even all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods." Returning to the temple, Jeremiah repeated his definite conviction that the rebellion of Judah against Babylonia would result in the blotting out of the nation. "Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all its towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have made their necks stiff, that they may not hear my words." Of course, it was naturally felt that such statements were nothing short of treason. One of the priests appointed to keep order in the temple was so exasperated that he struck Jeremiah a severe blow, had him arrested, his feet fastened in the stocks, and left him to be jeered at and maltreated by the vulgar passers-by. All day and all night the unhappy prophet was in his predicament. The physical pain and the mortification were intense. When the priest ordered him to be released the next day, Jeremiah was ready with a fierce word of denunciation against him. For thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will give all the riches of this city, and all the gains thereof, and all the precious things thereof, yea, all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give unto the hand of their enemies. And they shall make them a prey, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thy house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die. And there shalt thou be buried, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied falsely. Going to his home after this terrible experience, he broke down in a complaint against his unhappy lot. He knew that Jehovah's words had compelled him to preach, and yet what an awful result had come. He prayed, Oh, Jeremiah, thou hast persuaded me, and I was persuaded. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocketh me. As he prayed, instead of becoming calm, he became more and more disturbed. Why should he have been born for such an unhappy task? The poor man, carried beyond his patience, broke out into a curse that he had ever been born. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, A man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which Jehovah overthrew and repented not, and let him hear a cry in the morning and shouting at noontime. And yet he knew that it was inevitable that he should go on preaching. He could not let his people perish before his eyes without warning. Repeatedly he had decided that he would never preach again, but the words had seemed to burn in his bones. And if I say I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, then there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with forbearing, and I cannot contain. A man so disturbed in spirit does well to pray, even if his prayer is only complaint and the expression of his agony. Sooner or later, the man who prays will receive an answer. Jeremiah became calmer as he realized that God would surely take care of him. He speaks his assurance. But Jehovah is with me as a mighty one and a terrible. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be utterly put to shame, because they have not dealt wisely, even with an everlasting dishonor which shall never be forgotten. But Jeremiah had not forgotten the bitter enemy who had so maltreated him, and he longed to see him punished. It is a very natural, if not quite a religious prayer, when he cries, But, O Jehovah of hosts, that triest the righteous, that seest the heart and the mind, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. But having expressed all his feelings, he knows that he must go on with his great work. He is sure of the presence and comfort of God, and he ends with a song of victory. Sing unto Jehovah, praise ye Jehovah, for he hath delivered the soul of the needy from the hand of evildoers. Wonderful indeed is it when a man can pass through such a severe soul experience and come out confident.